is John saw the vision of the new Jerusalem, the holy city. Scripture declares, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared beautifully as a bride dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who was thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And he who overcomes will inherit all of this. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, and those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death.'" Here to read him God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for that hope of the new Jerusalem. All that you have in store for us, that you are beautifully preparing for us. And last week you reminded us that you are preparing a place for us in your house. But we thank you that someday you will be with us. So Lord, through your word this morning, I pray that you would encourage us, give us a glimpse again through your word of what you have in store. Through your Holy Spirit, help us to understand and see as you revealed to John the reality that is for us. And we thank you for your hope that you have given us. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been to some very beautiful places on earth? Maybe you've been, if you've ever been to Hawaii or a place of tropical paradise, and some people go to a beautiful place and they say, man, that is heaven on earth. To go to a place of tropical paradise and all the water, and just coming back from Florida, maybe, or to me, the Smoky Mountains, but some of your favorite places, and think of, boy, that's just heaven on earth. And we say that phrase because we talk about, boy, it's paradise to us. It's a place we want to be. It's a beautiful place. Well, that, as we continue our series through heaven, last week we talked about our Father's house. The place that the Lord is preparing for us and for those who love him now. That upon our death, until the Lord returns, until that final day of resurrection when Jesus returns to this earth, we are going to live in the Father's house. And last week we talked about that and how the Father's house is temporary because it's not our final destination. The final heaven is going to be back again on earth, and there is coming a day that heaven will be back on earth. And we will reign with the Lord here. So this last week, as we talked about this Father's house, this morning we want to talk about the new Jerusalem, what's called the final heaven, the heaven where we were going to dwell permanently, our final destination, our final home. And the Lord gives John a vision of it here in the end of the book. And as you know, John was banished on the island of Patmos for preaching the gospel. He was the last of the only disciples left. By this time, all the other disciples had died and are with the Lord. John was left, and the Lord revealed himself to him and gave a vision of what was ahead and ended the book with a beautiful vision for him and for us of showing us a picture of the day when heaven will come down to earth. And God will live with us. And that picture of our final destination in hope. And this morning, as we look at the Word of God together, we want to discover three things about heaven on earth, as someday we will be here. Heaven will be with us. And so the first thing we discover about the Word of God this morning is that the Lord created us for earth. And the one reason why heaven's going to be on earth is because the Lord created us to live here. And you say, well, Dan, wait a minute. I thought we're going to heaven. Well, we're going to heaven intermediately, but the Lord didn't really create you and me for heaven. He created us for earth. And you say, well, Dan, where'd you get that? Let's go to the Word of God. Because he made the earth for us as our home. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis, very beginning, chapter 2, verses 7 through 15, after the Lord had created, in chapter 1, we have the story of how God had created the heavens and the earth, and then how in the 6 days he filled it and created all the things within the earth for us. But then chapter 2 talks specifically about humanity, about us. And verse 7, it says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. It's specifically focusing on us now. But verse 8 says, the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east in Eden, and he put man where? In the garden that he created. See, God created us particularly to live on earth. He created the angels to live in heaven. But he created you and I for earth. And this is what he created the earth to be our home. And he placed them within the Garden of Eden. And in that Garden of Eden, as you read on down to say, it says a river watered the garden. It separated into four headquarters. It had all kinds of gold and all kinds of produce and lush vegetation, and in the middle of the garden was the tree of life. And so the Lord created man, put him in the garden, and gave us everything we needed for life. And he made us to live here on earth as our home. We don't usually think of that, but we were created for here. And he placed us in a perfect garden where everything would be sustained, all that we need. And he made us out of the dust of the earth. It says that he made us from the earth for the earth. And so, if the Lord created us for earth, wouldn't you think that our final home would be back here where he made us to be? And what he fashioned and created us for? To live here on the earth with him in his presence, as we'll see. But just as we were made from the earth, he made us to live here. And he also gave us the earth to rule for his glory. Not only did he place us in the perfect garden, but he gave us the earth to rule for him and to subdue for him. And let's go back to Genesis and look at that in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 30. And after God had created the man, let's take a look at that. Verse 27 says, the Lord said, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the livestock, and over the earth, and over all the creatures that move on the ground. So the Lord created man in his image, and the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. So he blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And God said, I gave you every seed-bearing plant in the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit will be seed in it, and they will be yours for food. So God created us to rule over the earth for him, for his glory. Someday, we'll see in the new heaven and new earth, we are going to rule with Christ. And we are going to rule on the world again with Christ to bring glory to him, because that's what God created us to do. That was part of the mission, the mandate he had given us, to subdue the earth for his glory and honor. So the Lord created us for earth. That's one reason why heaven's going to be here. And you may have thought, maybe that's a new revelation to you, to think, well, I thought we were created for heaven, but we were actually created for earth, to live with God here and to rule the earth and to live in where he had placed us. Second, reason why heaven will be on earth, because the Lord will restore the earth. Because he created the earth to be our home, sin had corrupted it, as we know. And sin came into the perfect garden that God had created, which was to be heaven on earth. And we're going to see that there's a parallel between Genesis and Revelation. We'll get to that. But it was to be that heaven on earth. And sin came into the garden and corrupted that. And the fall corrupted everything on this earth. And so God has to restore it. In order for heaven to come back to earth again, our earth is going to have to be restored and refashioned. Sin is going to have to be dealt with. And so the Lord will restore this earth and the curse will be removed. Now, let's go back to Revelation chapter 21. And it says here that John saw the new heaven and the new earth, because the first earth had passed away. It was going to be remolded. It's going to be refashioned and reformed and restored back to the original. And in this new earth, he said, there will no longer be, verse 4, any more death or mourning or crying or pain, for all those old order of things have passed away. And he said, I am making everything new. The curse is going to remove. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, and we see that curse, because when Adam and Eve had fallen into sin, the perfect earth that was heaven on earth that God had created had been corrupted by sin. And because of that, God had placed a curse on the earth in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. Said, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the animals, and they crawl on their belly. You will eat of the dust and all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. To the woman he said, I will increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband. He will rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat of, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life, and it will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat of the plants of the field and the sweat of your brow until you return from to the ground, from since you were taken from it. From dust you are, to dust you will return. So because of sin, because Adam and Eve's disobedience, the whole earth was plunged into a curse. And what once was beautiful became corrupted. And now sickness and sin and suffering and death and all of that came into the world. But in the new Jerusalem, sin, the curse, and its effects will be gone. So think of all the effects of what the curse has done. Our bodies age. They wear out. We get sick. Death. We go older, we forget our memory. We can't remember where we put our keys anymore. Did you ever have that happen to you? All these effects of the fall, we get tired. All those things in the new Jerusalem are going to be gone. Our body won't age anymore. We won't forget anything anymore. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more death. All the effects of the curse. And think of some of the beautiful places you've been. And our earth has some beautiful places, but it's still under the effect of the curse. And think how beautiful it will be to have a beautiful, fragrant rose with no thorns on it. And all those things that affect us now will be gone. And we'll just have the earth as God intended it to be at the very beginning, without the curse. And it will be removed. Won't that be joyous to go back to and live what it would have been like to live in Eden? We're going to have that experience because God created you and I for Eden. That's what he created us for. And someday we are going to go back, and the earth and mankind longs to return to paradise. And how many times have people, human beings, tried to come up with ways to return the earth back to paradise and build a utopia on earth? And all of our attempts are not going to work. Karl Marx thought we could build utopia by having a common sharing. Everybody share things together. That doesn't work. It's only when the curse is removed, utopia and peace, paradise will come back on earth. And how glorious that's going to be. I'm looking forward to that day when the curse is gone. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. I'm not just looking forward to you. Are you looking forward to that day when the curse is removed? And I'm not just the only one. You're just not anyone. The creation itself was longing for it. Look into what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. Because Paul says in verse 18, he said, I consider that our present sufferings and in this present world, because of the fall, we are experiencing suffering and pain and anxiety and all the things we deal with. But he said, I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation itself waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. That was Adam. And hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and be brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Paul says creation itself is longing for the day that the curse will be removed from it and be returned back to what God intended in the very beginning. What a glorious day that will be in the New Jerusalem when the curse is gone and lifted for all eternity. And we see heaven on earth as God intended. And in Revelation chapter 22, verse 3, John is revealing, the Lord is revealing to him some of the conditions of what the New Jerusalem is going to be like and what it's going to be like there. He said in verse 3 of chapter 22, no longer will there be any curse. The curse became gone. And why? Because Jesus became a curse for us by taking on the curse of the law and dying for us. And through him, the curse will be removed someday on earth. So the curse will be gone. The enemy, the earth has been demolished by our sin. But the earth as we know it is not our home. This world as it once was be. So sin will be eliminated as well. Death and sin, he said, there will no longer be any more sin or death or sorrow or mourning or crying or pain. In the New Jerusalem, when heaven comes to earth, sin will be gone forever. You and I will not ever be able to sin again. Satan will be dealt with. He will be thrown into the lake of fire. Evil will be destroyed. And we will live forever without sin, no longer able to rebel against God. Heaven will be on earth, not corrupted by sin forever. Death will be no more. Sorrow, sickness will be past. And life on earth is going to be glorious. I can't wait for that day. Imagine no sin, no sorrow, no sickness, none of that for all eternity. That's what's going to be in our home here on earth. And as God intended when he created man and placed him in the garden, God's will was for them to live forever in paradise without sin, without sinning, but they had fallen into it. But in the new paradise, sin will no longer be there. Sin and death will be eliminated for good. And war and conflict is ended. It says that the lion will lie down with the lamb and a young child will feed them and there'll be no more war, no more conflict, none of that. Strife will all be gone and we'll live together in perfect harmony for all eternity. Praise God. Won't that be glorious? We look forward to that. And creation is returned to paradise. What God created the world to be in the very beginning, before sin had corrupted it, when heaven comes to earth, when the New Jerusalem comes down, creation is going to be returned to its beautiful original condition as God made it. When God made the world in Genesis chapter 1, after he created everything, before sin had come into the picture and corrupted it. Do you remember what he said? God said, it is what? Good. And if it was good when God created it, why would he undo it? It was sin that undid it. It wasn't God. He's going to restore back to what he made because he made everything good in the beginning. It was sin that had come and corrupted the picture. So he's going to restore it back. Do you want to know what heaven is like? You want to know what heaven on earth is like? You want to know what it's going to be? Go back to the Garden of Eden. And look at Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Because what God pictures there and describes in the Garden of Eden is what heaven is going to be like on earth in the new creation, in the new Jerusalem that's here. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 31 says, it was good. And in Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, it describes what life was like in the Garden of Eden, how it was well watered, and God had produced plants that would be luscious. And in the middle of the garden was the tree of life. And Adam and Eve were free at that point to eat of the tree of life and to give life to live eternally. And all those things were there. And then look at Revelation chapter 21 and 22, the description of what the holy city and the new heaven and new earth is like. And you see a lot of parallels. And from the fall in Genesis chapter 3, we're living in the time between the fall in Genesis chapter 3 and the return when Jesus comes back and sets things right. We're living in that long time till Genesis to Revelation 21 is achieved when the new Jerusalem comes down. And we're living in that time now when the earth is under the sway of sin, when it is decaying because of the corruption and the effects of the curse. But someday it will return back to what God intended it to be. Look at some parallels, and some of these Randy Alcorn mentions, and some of these I'm mentioning myself. But in Genesis, God plants a garden in Eden. And in Revelation, he brings down the New Jerusalem with the garden in the center. In Eden, there was no sin or curse. On the new earth, there is no more sin or curse. In Genesis, the Redeemer is promised. And in Revelation, the Redeemer returns. In the Garden of Eden, mankind lived in harmony with peace and with the animals and one another. And in the New Jerusalem, mankind will once again live in harmony with peace, with the animals, and one another. Do you see a parallel here? You look at Genesis 1 and 2, you look at Revelation 21, 22, the end of the story. In the Garden of Eden, the tree of life was present, and because of the fall, mankind was barred from eating of it. But in the New Jerusalem, the tree of life was present, and we're free to eat of it anytime we want to. And God restores the earth back to its original. In Genesis, paradise is lost. But in Revelation, paradise is regained. But I don't know about you, but I can't wait for that day. How about it? When heaven comes to earth and God restores this earth to what it was in the very beginning before sin had messed up the whole story. What a glorious day. So the new earth, God will make it. Physical creation will be renewed in a significant way. And the earth will be as God intended it to be at creation. Remember I said, God created us for earth in the very beginning. And he created mankind and put them in the garden as an intent was that we would live forever in that perfect relationship and harmony with him in the garden for all eternity. But sin had corrupted it. But someday, the earth will be what God intended it to be at creation because it was good. Why would he undo what was not good? It was good. And it is going to go back to being that again. Do you ever think of heaven being on earth? When we think of heaven up there. But really, heaven is going to be here for all eternity. Won't that be great? Peter Marshall said, this world is our home, because there's a song that said, this world's not our home, we're only passing through. But Peter Marshall said, this world is our home. We were made to live here. It was devastated by sin, but God's plans to put it right. Hence, we look forward with joy to newly restored bodies living on a newly restored heaven and earth. And man, that's going to be great. Newly restored bodies on a newly restored heaven and earth. That's heaven on earth. That's what we're longing for. So God will restore the earth. That's why heaven's here. And the Lord created us for earth. That's why heaven's on earth. Christ's mission is both to redeem what was lost in the fall and to destroy all competitors to God's dominion, authority, and power. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes this to the church, beginning in verse 22. He said, for in Adam all die, but so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And so the Lord is saying that Jesus is in heaven in his Father's house right now. But the day will come that he will come and destroy all enemies against him, and the kingdom of God will come on earth, and Christ will reign forever here. In Isaiah chapter 65, it's interesting how the word of God is so true, and how we can see, here's just a way that we see the revelation of God's will and direction through the power of the Holy Spirit. One way that we know that the scripture was not written by man, but was written by God. Because in Isaiah chapter 65, we have Isaiah 600 years before Jesus came, God giving him a vision about the new heaven and the new earth. It wasn't just something the Lord had revealed to John, but he revealed it to Isaiah the prophet. Look at Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17. And Isaiah says, behold, the Lord speaking to him says, behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. Does that sound like the book of Revelation? God had revealed that to Isaiah the prophet 600 years before Jesus even came, that his plan is for a new heaven and a new earth. And he said, be glad and rejoice forever in what I create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people, and the sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. And I say, man, 600 years before Jesus came, the Lord revealed to Isaiah the prophet the new Jerusalem. Isn't that something? And that he was going to create. And there would be a sound of no more weeping there. Sin will not be remembered there anymore. The same thing he had revealed to John. And as the book of Isaiah closes in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22, with that same promise, where he says, as the new heavens and the new earth that I will make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your name and your descendants endure. And there Isaiah prophesied through the Lord that the new Jerusalem would endure forever. That when he creates that new heaven and earth, it's going to be permanent, and God's presence is going to dwell here with us. And in Isaiah chapter 60, before this, the Lord had given Isaiah a picture of what the new Jerusalem was going to be like, and how beautifully this parallels with Revelation chapter 21 and 22. And if you read chapter 21 and 22, you know it says that there's not going to be the sun, the sun or moon's not going to be needed. People, the kings of the will bring their nations, their glory into the city. And he describes all of those things in Revelation. But the Lord revealed that to Isaiah as well. And out of chapter 60, he says that nations will come to your light, the kingdoms to the brightness of your dawn. He said herds of camel will cover your land, talking about the animals that will be there. He said, verse 11, your gates will stand open. They will never be shut by day or night. Men will bring the wealth of the glory into the nations. And verse 14 says, they will call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. And he goes on to describe, in verse 19, he says, the sun will no longer be your light by day, nor the brightness of the moon by night. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the glory of God will be your glory. The sun will never set again. Then all your people will be righteous, and they possess the land forever. So God had revealed to Isaiah as well his plan to restore all things to himself. So heaven is on earth someday, because we were made for earth, and God will restore the earth. And last, heaven will be on earth because God is going to be here. The Lord will dwell on earth with us. Right now, we know he's in the Father's house, and Jesus takes us to be with him upon our death now. And he said, we looked at that last week, that he goes to prepare a place for us, and when he does, he will come to take us to be there with him. And we learned that last week. But someday, in the new Jerusalem, the new heaven and earth, God is going to come down to us. Notice what it says in Revelation chapter 21. It says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven for God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a voice on the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. He will live with them, and they will be his God. and they will be, and God himself will live with them and be their God. God is going to come down and dwell here with us. Now you remember in the Garden of Eden, we read that as God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden before sin had come in and corrupted it, remember it said that God would come and talk with Adam every day face to face? And he would come down permanently and dwell with them and talk with them, but then go back to heaven. But someday, he is going to live here with us on earth for all time. His home is going to be here with us too, in the capital city of the New Jerusalem, where his throne room will be, in the new heaven and earth, and we will be free to have all eternity to investigate and learn more and more. And we'll talk more about that too. But he will be here with us on earth. That's what's going to make heaven on earth, because God is going to be here living. We've seen foretastes of that in the Garden of Eden when he talked with them. We've seen foretastes of that through the tabernacle when he dwelled among the tabernacle. We've seen that in Jesus who came and tabernacled with us. But someday God himself will be here permanently with us. And we will see him face to face. It says we will see him as he is face to face in all his glory, all his majesty here on earth. And he will dwell with us permanently when that holy city comes down to earth. It's going to be for all time and endure for all eternity. God here on earth for all time. Sin, sorrow, suffering, curse, all removed. Heaven comes down to earth, and God lives with us and we with him here on earth, that he has restored back to its beauty. Boy, I long for that day. We have a glorious future, friends. So we, because of that, we need to walk with our heads up. And we need to walk rejoicing because we have hope. We have assurance. It's absolutely real. Even though it's by faith right now, someday we will see it. And we have that confidence. And we don't have to walk with our heads down, like we know what is ahead for us, and we have a beautiful future. God has just shown it to us of what is in store. And he says outside in Revelation verse 8, it says outside the city are the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, idolaters, and liars. Their place is not going to be in the new city, in the new heaven and earth. Their place is going to be in the lake of fire burning forever. What a destiny for those who don't know Jesus. He said, but those who overcome through faith will inherit all of this. And we are assured to it of a new heaven and a new earth with God forever in paradise on earth. Eden restored. Eden forever. What a glorious day that will be. And we look forward to it. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down, for the old order of things has passed away. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for giving us a picture of what awaits us of someday when you restore this earth again back to its original intent as you created it. Before Satan and sin had come and corrupted everything. And Lord, we've never known what an earth was like without the curse. Every time a woman gives birth, we're reminded of that. Every time we get sick, or every time our body wears out, or every time the hard toil of labor, or we get pringled by a prick or a pain, we're reminded that we live in a fallen world that's under a curse. And we can't imagine what it's like not to be that day, but you've given us a picture of someday when heaven comes to earth, when all that curse is removed, and you live with us, and we live with you in paradise, as you intended it to be in the very beginning when you created man and placed him in the garden, and your intent was to rule in the earth, to dwell with you in your presence forever. And Lord, that day will be realized someday. We live by faith, but someday it will become a reality. And so, Lord, thank you for that hope. And may we are assured of that. We have confidence. Our hope is real. It's a reality that is absolutely certain. And even now, the saints that are in your house in heaven are longing for the day, because Revelation tells us they cried out under the altar in Revelation chapter 7, how long will it be, Lord, until you make everything right, until you restore everything? And even now, the saints in your house are waiting for the day when heaven will come back to earth, because you created us for here. And so, Father, we long for that day. Until that day, may we keep our eyes focused on the prize and run with confidence what you've laid out before us, and to seek to share that good news and hope to those around us, that when people ask us, why can you be so confident when you're going through hardship, when you're going through hardship, because we have hope to know that things are going to get better. This is the worst that we've ever have to experience, because we have something far better ahead. So thank you for that assurance and that promise. So Lord, I pray for each one here today, and may the hope of heaven continue to sustain us, continue to empower us, and continue and encourage us as we live for you and run that race daily until the day that we enter your home. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.